Verse 1, start there. Paul says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. For each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, leading up to verse 7, everything that's built up to that point, Paul has talked about the fact that we are to be looking out for the needs of other people. And in seeking to please them, seeking to build them up. Just like Christ didn't seek to please himself, he says, but he sought to please the Father, or basically what he's talking about is serving us and how that we receive encouragement and instruction from the Scripture. And he says, now that God, who gives us perseverance and encouragement, he wants us all to be of the same mind and to be with one another according to Christ Jesus, or in the same way of Christ Jesus, the same way the Father, Son, and the Spirit are one mind and one, we are to be in that same kind of unity with each other. So that with one accord, we may with one voice glorify God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse 7, therefore, because of this, because of what I've just said in this portion leading up to this about God doing all of these things for us and us being of one mind and one heart, here's the key. How is that going to happen? Accept one another. Just as Christ also accepted us. So glory of God. How are we going to lift up with one voice? How are we going to walk with one mind? How are we going to experience the God who gives perseverance and encouragement to us so we can have this same mind, have this same heart, with one voice glorify Him? How are we going to be able to encourage and please our neighbor just as Christ encouraged and was serving us? How are we going to do this? He says, accept one another in the same way that Christ accepted you. There's the key. Acceptance is one of the hardest things we have to do with other people. It's difficult to receive them in the same way, he says, that Christ received us. And Christ did not receive us because we were good, spiritual, perfect, or any of those things. In fact, earlier on in this letter, Paul says that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were at our worst, he gave us his best. While we were his enemies, he laid down his life for us. So he took us, just as we mentioned last week, in the same way as the hymn says, just as we are. Just like we were. He didn't ask us to get in any kind of self-improvement program. He didn't ask us to change this, change that. You know, you've ever heard people talk about when you talk to them about the possibility of receiving Christ or anything, and they're like, well, yeah, I plan on doing that once I change this, give up this, stop doing this. Then, you know, they feel like they've got to get themselves in a position where they're able to be worthy enough to be received by Jesus. And Paul says, no, you're to be receiving each other in the same way that he received you, just like you were. Because again, he has no pretenses about us. He has no illusions about who we are. He knows who we are. He knows everything about us. He knew everything about us before we ever came into this world. All of it. The good, the bad, and everything in between. Nothing's going to shock him. Nothing's going to surprise us. So when we came to him and he took us as, and we'll, actually before we even came to Him, He took us just like we were. In fact, He took us as we were, not just as individuals, but as a collective race of creatures, humanity, and changed us from what we were into what He desired us to be. He made us accepted, as Paul said in Ephesians, in the Beloved. How did He do that? Well, if you go back all the way to the fourth chapter of Romans, there's a very powerful statement that Paul makes at the end of that chapter and the beginning of chapter 5. He's talking about Abraham's faith and his trust and his confidence in God. And he says in verse 23, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Paul is talking about Abraham's faith in taking God at His word. And us believing in Jesus, or believing Him, the Father, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. And then he makes that statement in verse 25. Jesus was delivered over for our, or because of our transgressions. Remember this whole idea of delivering over. Again, we always think about the cross from the perspective, so many times, especially in Western Christianity, that the cross is it's, you know, wow, man. Okay. We'll get one here. That's funky. Cross is, here's humanity down here. Here's the, you know, Father up here. To have them all, I think you're going to have to go through all of them. But you got the Father up here. And here's humanity here, and here's the cross. And the Father's got this arrow of anger pointed at the human race. And the only thing standing between us and Him obliterating us here is this. And yet, and that's basically, that's the understanding of Western Christianity. It's, you know, God the Father hates humanity, and the only thing that saves humanity is the good Jesus who steps in between the bad Father who's angry with us. And now God is going to be able to finally accept us because Jesus did something for us. But, it, you know, we understand that the Scripture says, okay, no, that's not exactly how it all works out. He said the fact is that God was, that Jesus was delivered over because of our transgressions. A lot of people see that Jesus was punished by the Father because of our transgressions. But what Paul's actually saying, no, Jesus was delivered over. Just like what Peter talked about, that God, the Father, Jesus, and willingly submitted Himself to this, He took His hands off and said, do with Him as you will. Do with Me as you will. He gave Himself over to humanity, that God allowed the restraints to be taken away, and He willingly subjected Himself to the worst that humanity had to deal and do with Him. Willingly did that. Father was involved in that. Holy Spirit was involved in that. All of the Trinity was involved of yielding themselves over willingly to take the worst that humanity had to throw at them. Our transgressions, our sin. He took that willingly. He was delivered over because of our transgressions. He, because of our sin, because of the sin of humanity, He entered into the very depths of our darkness and willingly yielded Himself to that. So in doing that, when He went to the cross, Paul says that all of our sins, He, from the cross, made the declaration, we are what? Father, forgive them. For this, release them. Forgive means, like we talked about last week, released. Let them go. Send them away. They're gone. Forgive them. But then he also dealt with this singular, the power of sin itself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So he became, as it were, sin on that cross. He was treated as a sinner in the sense of taking our sins upon himself. He dies on the cross. And then he goes into the grave. These are forgiven, forgotten, gone, cleansed, removed. This, him bearing this, taking it into the grave, he defeats it. And he destroys, Paul says in Romans 6, its power. He breaks its power. Because, first of all, it had no legal claim on him because he was not a sinner. He willingly yielded himself to it, and as a result, he died as if he were a sinner and took sin's power and into the grave, and he destroyed it, and he defeated it for us as we were. He accepted and received us as we were as sinners and took all of that into himself and then carried it into the grave. But then we know, 3 days later, he's resurrected. The end of that verse 25 says, he was delivered over because of our transgressions, but he was raised for our justification. The best translation of that, the way you could say that was, he was raised to declare our justification. The resurrection was God's declaration to all humanity. Guess what, guys? You are justified now. You are clean. Here's the receipt and the evidence of your justification, the resurrection of my son. Now there is nothing that stands between humanity and God. You go back to 2 Corinthians 5 where Paul says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Why did he not count their trespasses against them? Here's why. Because there were no trespasses to count against us anymore. Because they have been taken care of. So he received us just like we were. Accepted us just like we were. Dealt with that and brought about this transformation and this change in us that acceptance of us brought about, and it transformed and it changed us as a result of him receiving us just like we are. And he said, just in the same way, because he was motivated by love to receive you just like you were, you receive each other in the same manner. And when Paul's talking about that in that 15th chapter, he's not just talking about the fact that you receive each other as Christians. Because this work was done for the whole world. So he said, you receive every other human being in the same way that Christ received every other human being. Just like they were. Again, have they all experienced what he did for them? No, because they haven't been told. They haven't believed. But it doesn't change the fact that he's already received them. And just as we've said so many times, they're already in. They're not trying to get in, and they can't get out. They're in. They just don't know it yet. But he says, I want you to receive them in the same way that Christ has received you. Accept them. That's our term that we use today. Accepting people for who they are. Accepting other people means that you're going to receive people. You're going to make them feel adequate. You're going to make them feel suitable. You're going to make them feel validated and wanted. You're going to communicate that to other human beings, Paul says. That same sense of feeling, except that every human being longs for that. Every human being craves acceptance. Every one of us, when we walk into a room, we want people to walk up to us, shake our hand, hug us, give us a word of affirmation. We long to feel validated and wanted and special and loved. Every person on the planet wants to feel that way. And we want to know that we're loved and we're accepted by others. And a lot of times when we don't feel that love and acceptance, a lot of times people will do all kinds of crazy stuff to try to get it. Because they want it so desperately. They long for it so much on the inside. And yet Paul is telling us here, we have the opportunity to accept other people in the same way that Christ has accepted us. That when we accept other people, one of the things that we do is we show respect to them and we validate them as a person. Receiving others and accepting other people has to do with receiving them as a human being. It doesn't mean that I condone. It doesn't mean that I even have to agree with or approve of everything that they're doing in their life. Do you think that when Christ received us as we were, that there were things in our lives that we were probably doing that He wouldn't approve of? Sure. Had nothing to do with whether or not He approved of things in our lives or agreed with things that were going on, because it went deeper than that. It has to go into the fact of our humanity. We don't have to even agree with the life path that people have chosen. We may disagree with it. We may not say that, we even know that that's not even the best thing, but that there's a difference between accepting that person as a human being and as a individual and the kind or of path or life that they are living. I don't have to accept this, but I do have to accept them as a person to communicate the love of Christ to them. And so, genuine acceptance, when you think about it, it is not based on this right here. If. I will accept you if you believe like I believe. I will accept you if you change this about your life. I will accept you if you quit doing that. I will accept you if you will do this for me. There is no if in genuine acceptance. What was it? I think it was Richard Rohr that said, I've jotted it down here, every expectation of return is a resentment in the making. When you set expectations on people with the if, you are setting yourself up to eventually have resentment toward them, because guess what? They are going to let you down. Every time. They're going to fail you. So all you're setting yourself up to do is start resenting them because they didn't meet your expectations. So we have to lay down the expectations. See, we don't accept people sometimes because they frustrate us. Because there are things that they do that bother us. You know, maybe this person is an individual who isn't real tidy or neat or clean all the time, but you are. Maybe this person is an individual who's habitually 15, 20 minutes late for everything, and you're always wanting to be 15 or 20 minutes early. Things that they have in their life, things that they do that just frustrate the living daylights out of you, and because it's something they're doing, you have a hard time accepting them because they're frustrating you in your life. Let me let you in on a clue. You and I frustrate people too. We may have frustrations with others, but there's others that have frustrations with us about stuff. Other people do not exist to make me or you happy. That's not their purpose. But a lot of people think they do. You exist to make me happy by acting like I want you to act and treating me and doing what exactly I think you ought to do. But that's just not the case. They frustrate us, but we frustrate other people as well. We don't accept other people because they're different from us. How many people do you run into on a daily basis that think differently than you do? I was just meeting with a guy up at South Point a little while ago, and he's from down near Lumberton, and he's in a Bible college down there, and he said, I have to be real careful when I come up here, because he's working over in Chapel Hill. He said, because I have to be real careful, politically correct in the way I talk when I'm at work over here. Because he said, the way people think here. It's all completely different than he's a farm boy, you know, from down south. But people are different. And a lot of times when people don't think like us, they don't talk the same way we do, they don't act the same way we do, they dress differently than we do, they have lifestyles that are different than what we're used to, we don't extend a receiving or accepting attitude toward them. And they sense that. They sense that. You could have people go into any number of churches around here on a given Sunday morning who come from a different kind of background than what the people are in that building. And they'll walk out of there and they'll either know one of two things. They either know whether they're welcomed and accepted or they did not feel welcomed or accepted because they were different. Because people communicate that to others just because folks are different. And again, acceptance from his standpoint toward you and I had nothing to do with our performance or the fact that we were different or anything like that. It had to do with the fact that we were human beings. And human beings have eternal, inestimable value in the eyes of the Father because we're his creation. Every one of us are his creation. And so he showed us that through what he did with his son and through his son on the cross to communicate that. And when you start trying to practice this, here's the thing. One of the things about accepting other people, the way Christ has received and accepted us, is the first thing is this. It is this right here. It's a choice you have to make. It is something you have to choose to do. Not whether you feel like it or not. You can't be worried about what other people are going to think should you accept that individual over here. Because a lot of times we're more concerned about what if I accept this person and treat them in a manner like they're accepted, what are my friends going to think? Because they're different. Are they going to, you know, think that I'm condoning their life? Do they think that I approve of the way they're living, especially if they're living some wild, raucous kind of life or, you know, some sort of sexual orientation lifestyle that we don't approve of? Are they going to think, well, I just won't step out there because I don't want people to think that I'm like that? Now stop and think about this for a minute. Jesus, when he was walking around the streets of Israel, the kind of people he hung out with, if he had been worried about what other people were thinking, most of what we read about in the stories in the New Testament would have never happened or been written. Never. Because there were a lot of people he were with that were considered the dregs of society and give you a bad rep by being just near them. But not he wasn't just near them. He ate with them. He went to their houses. He walked with them. He touched them. He healed them. He forgave them. He was doing all, and people were accusing him of all kinds of things. And never one time did he ever stop to try to defend himself against any of those accusations. That's not true about me. He didn't care. Because the one thing that mattered to him was he was communicating to the world down here, just like they were, as they were, the love of the Father. He wanted them to know that this love has always been there from the Father towards you because religion, as we talked about months ago, had been telling them, no, 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 God doesn't love you like you are. You better change or you're going to go roast in hell or you're going to get judged. You're going to be cursed. No, he doesn't. You better make some changes in your life. And Jesus come along and said, no, 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 no. I want you to know Father loves you as you are. And I'm going to show you that because I am the Father and the Father is in me and we're going to walk with you and hang out with you and eat with you and laugh with you and make your lives different by our presence. So Jesus communicated that, but he chose to do that. He wasn't forced to. Nobody forced Jesus to do anything. Father didn't twist his arm. Holy Spirit wasn't saying, now you're going to do this, son, whether you want to or not. He chose to yield and to do the will of the Father, and it was his delight to do that. But once you start making this choice, I'm going to choose to start accepting people. And it ain't easy. I know that. We all know that. But here's the other one. The first person you got to start out accepting is yourself. A lot of times why people have a hard time accepting others is because they can't accept themselves. They can't delight in and rejoice in the person that God created them to be. Because again, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, so many times all we see is not the positive, we see the negative. All we know is the dirty. All we know is the things, the lies that the enemy has communicated into our minds of how unworthy, how bad, how God is, you know, we're unacceptable to God. And we believed all of these lies about that. So we have a hard time accepting ourselves. I've even heard people say that. I've heard believers say that. I can more easily accept other people than I can accept myself. Because I know me. And yet, you've got to start there. Even Jesus said that. He said, love your neighbor as what? Yourself. Now, if I don't love myself a whole lot, and that's not bad, if I'm created by the Father, and He made me like I am, even with all of my flaws and my imperfections, not again that He, I'm real happy about all those bad things. No. But even with all of the potential and all that, knowing that, but He still made me like I am. And He loves me like I am. Why in heaven's name do I have such a hard time loving me then if He loves me? Am I thinking I'm smarter than He is? And I know something about me. You don't know. That's why I can't love me. No. Why do we want to treat ourselves like we're the, God's got the booby prize in us? And that's the way we see ourselves. When He loves us just like we are, you've got to start an acceptance of yourself, and there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean there's not things that we will change in our lives. There's not things that we want to see God improve in our lives and build on, but we start at that point. And then when we start accepting ourselves, we made this choice that we accept ourselves as we are, then we can move on to the, from the standpoint of that when we're out with other people on a daily basis, we focus on this. We focus on the positive things that we see in them. The good things that we see. How hard is it to find the negatives in people? Not hard at all. We can spot them real quick and are quick to many times point and communicate those things out to other people. But the one thing about God, when you look especially under the new covenant, He is always focusing on this with us, the positive. Are there negative things in our lives that are there? Sure there are. But He's not pointing those out. He focuses on the positive. And a lot of times we have a hard time focusing on the positive in some people's lives, especially those closest to us, is because we won't let go of the past. Like we talked about last week. We're still remembering stuff they did, ways that they acted, things that happened back here. We are still living in the past, and God says, I want you to let go of the past and live in the now. Right now. Let that stuff go. Turn it loose. So you focus on the positive things in individuals' lives, and not on the negatives. When you look at that and you point those things out to other individuals, you focus on those things. And then, when you think about this, and this is the one that we tend to forget about, even though it's always been told to us about, you know, from the Golden Rule. Have you ever stopped to think, put yourself in their shoes? How would you want to be treated? If you were them, would you want to be spoken to the way you're getting ready to speak to them? Would you want to have the same attitude communicated to you that you're getting ready to communicate to that individual? Would you want to feel the sense of rejection that you're getting ready to communicate to that person? Or would you want to feel accepted and valued as an individual and loved and important? Put yourself in that individual's shoes. You know, we have a lot of people here in our area that come from other countries and in other places. And, you know, there's resentment among the local people here for these people coming in. But they've also left something that they've been very familiar and comfortable with all of their lives. And now they're in a new environment. And they pick up real quick on people here or whether or not they accept or reject them. And I'm thinking, if I'm in their shoes, and I've been in their shoes, having lived in another country, how would I want to be treated? How would I want to be feeling. And I start thinking, okay, if I want to be treated in an accepting way, then I need to treat others in an accepting manner. So I put myself in their place. Here is the most beautiful thing about what God has done in accepting us as we are in Christ Jesus, taking our sins, defeating all of that, raising us and declaring us justified, perfectly right in His sight, all transgressions dealt with. That when we accept other people, we free them to become the people they're created to be. Because guess what? There are no strings attached on them now that I've got bound around them to be what I think they ought to be. Now I've turned them loose to be who they were created to be. What did God do? In accepting and receiving us in Christ, He set us free to become everything He always intended for us to be by His communicating and extending His acceptance and receiving us as Christ has received us. And then Paul says, turn around and you receive others, because now there's no expectations. There's no possibilities for resentments now because there's no expectations. I've liberated you. I've accepted you just like you are. You're free to become all that I've intended you to become now, because there's no strings attached at all. And the opposite of acceptance is what? Rejection. A lot of times when we try to communicate to people that we reject things they're doing, somehow it gets skewed, and they interpret that as, you're not rejecting the things I'm doing, you're rejecting me as a person. Because that's the way we communicate that to them. God has a unique way of letting us know there are things that are damaging to you, but still communicating to us that has no absolute effect on how I feel about you as an individual and my son or my daughter, period. These are damaging and destructive things to you. Somehow we have to learn to be able to do that. When we have to deal with things in people's lives that are damaging and destructive to them without feeling like we're rejecting them as a person. Greatest gift when you walk out of this building tonight that you can give to each other, that you can give to the people around you, that you're going to give to people tomorrow, is this gift, the gift of unconditional love and acceptance. It's the greatest gift you can give them. Because you're putting them in a position. Because what you're doing is, if they want to know what the Father's like, they want to know what Jesus is like, and we go out and we receive others just as He's received us, they're going to experience what God is like in my reception and my acceptance of them as a person. And the way I treat them. They'll get a visual picture and a visual experience and a literal experience in relationship with me of what my Father's like, what the God that I serve is like. Most of the world has the picture of God, the Father in heaven, from most of Christianity as being one who's like this against people. I'm keeping you at arm's length because you're not what I want you to be or expect of you. So therefore, I reject you. And we communicate that to them because that's their concept of God. And we communicate to them. So again, then we create all these religious hoops that they've got to jump through and do, and all these things they've got to perform in order to try to get to satisfy this if right here, when there is no if. That the if is gone, doesn't exist anymore. So how do we get this oneness, this one mind, this one heart, one accord, glorifying God? By accepting one another just as Christ accepted us. And He says He did this to the glory of God. This brought honor, pleasure, joy, happiness to the heart of the Father. Because what Jesus was doing was communicating the heart of the Father to the world in the way He accepted humanity and what He did for us. There is such a powerful, powerful thing in this, man, in that Romans 4:25 of Him taking all this down and raised for our justification, the declaration, the receipt to the world saying, look here, Father saying, it's all paid for, you're all justified. Go party. Live happy. It's all done. Why do we want anything less? How could we accept anything less? Why would we want to accept anything less than living the best life that we could live in Him and experiencing that? Such freedom. And then turn around and communicate in that same acceptance, that same love to other people. Well, that's all I got. Be blessed.